राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दना ब्रजजनरञ्जना यशोदानन्दना ब्रजजनरञ्जना यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दना ब्रजजनरञ्जना यमुनातीरावनचारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Jagannatha, Jagannatha, Baladeva Jaya Subhadra. Prabhupada, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada.
Yam Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotra Shata Shri Shrimati His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः Where we left yesterday, we were discussing the seventh chapter of scheduled incarnations. So we could complete till 35th verse. There are a few more verses, we can move on. So few more incarnations left before we can. So this 35th verse, with 35th verse Krishna's incarnation gets over, and the 36th verse we are going to see the incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva. Yusham Swanigamo Bhatadhura Para ఆవిర్హితస్త్వనుయుగం సహి సత్య సహి సత్యవత్యాం వేదద్రుమం విటపశో విభజిష్యతి స్మ. The Lord, seeing that the ocean of the Vedas composed by himself will be difficult to cross by people whose lives are short and whose intelligence has been limited by time, will appear in every kalpa as the son of Satyavati and divide the tree of the Vedas into branches. So that is, this is the purpose of appearance of Vyasadeva, who would come and divide the Vedas so that less intelligent people who have further smaller lifespans, they can understand the Vedas and get benefited by the Vedic scriptures. That's about Vyasadeva. So then in the 37th verse he is going to speak about Lord Buddha. Devadvisham nigamavartmani nishtitanam purbhirmayena vihatabiradrishyaturbi lokan grina gnatham mati vimoham atipralobam vesham vidaya bahubhashaya taupadharmyam. When the demons fixed in Vedic learning kill people using fortresses, traveling at great speeds so that they are not seen by the enemy built by Maya, the Lord will take the dress of a non-believer and will speak many alluring heretical doctrines to bewilder their minds. Of course, this Buddha incarnation is not the same Buddha incarnation that appeared. Prabhupada clarifies it in the purport. He says, this incarnation of Lord Buddha is not the same Buddha incarnation we have in the present history of mankind. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the Buddha incarnation mentioned in this verse appeared in a different Kali Yuga. In the duration of life of one Manu, there are more than 72 Kali Yugas, and in one of them, the particular type of Buddha mentioned here would appear, maybe in future. Lord Buddha incarnates at a time when the people are most materialistic and preaches common sense religious principles. That is called Upadharma, Upadharmyam, it's mentioned here. So, alluring heretical doctrines. It's non-theistic or atheistic, but nevertheless, it can make people a little more saner because they were committing almost insane activities on the strength of the Vedic scriptures. So Lord Buddha would come and deny the Vedic scriptures and of course teach something which is mentioned in the Vedic scriptures only. But anything that rejects, any philosophy that rejects the authority of the Vedas is considered atheistic. So for a specific purpose Lord Buddha comes and establishes that kind of a sub-religious dharma only to pave the way for the re-entry of Vedas. You know, it becomes all the more easier when people get situated in little more sattva. You know, it's more easier to accept the Vedic scriptures. So, yes, Prabhu. I also don't know. 71 is what I have also heard. It's about, I think 71 into 14 gives some 994 yuga cycles. So it's between 71 and 72, something like that. See, sometimes in some details Prabhupada is not so, if you have observed, sometimes in quoting verses also, like he would start with one verse and then, you know, end the verse by almost quoting like a part of three different verses. I mean, if you know the meaning of those verses, you will understand that it's coherent, but actually they are not, the same verse. So, you know, these are like just some small details which even if you read the life history of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, many times he would forget some details and he would ask one of his disciples, oh, what is that? You know, can you help me remember that verse or something like that. So these are, you know, some minor things, you know, 71 or 72. Then in the 38th verse he speaks about Kalki avatar. Yarhyalayeshwapi satam na hare katasyu pashandino dvijajana vrishalandra deva swaha swadavashaditismagiro nayatra shasta bhavishyati kaler bhagavan yugante. When the topics of the Lord are not heard in the houses of the devotees, in the houses of the devotees, when the brahmanas are heretical, what is heretical? Deviant. The kings are shudras and the words of the sacrifice swaha, swadha and vashat are not uttered. The Lord will appear as Kalki at the end of Kali Yuga as the Punisher. Already it seems like, you know, we are seeing similar symptoms. So, probably things will improve. Seems like. So finally, he ends by describing the vibhutis as we discussed yesterday. Vibhutis are also jivatattvas, but empowered to a little lesser degree compared to the Shaktyavesha avatars. Sarge tapoyam rishayo navaye prajesha staneta dharma makamanvamaran amaravanisha antetva dharma haramanyu vasha suradya maya vibhutaya ima purushakti bhaja. The vibhutis of maya filled with great shakti or austerity, myself, the sages and the nine prajapatis for creation, dharma, sacrifice, the manus, the devatas and the kings for maintenance, and adharma, Shiva, the snakes and demons for destruction. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur commenting on this verse, he says, this verse describes the vibhutis of the gunavataras within this material world. Vibhutis of the gunavataras means those which are meant to assist the gunavataras in their role of creation, maintenance and destruction of this material universe. For creation, which are the vibhutis that assist whom? Brahma. Penance, Brahmaji and the nine prajapatis. They form a group. They are together. They are the creation team. And for maintenance, it's dharma, sacrifice, the manus, the devatas and kings. They all are responsible for maintenance. So they are called vibhutis of Lord Vishnu. For destruction, there is adharma, Shiva, the snakes and demons. So they are all vibhutis of Lord Shiva, like that. Srila Prabhupada here writes, the material world is created by the energy of the Lord, which is manifested in the beginning of creation by the penance of Brahmaji. The first living being in the creation, and then there are the nine prajapatis known as the great sages. In the stage when the creation is maintained, there are devotional service to Lord Vishnu or factual religion. So Prabhupada translates dharma as devotional service. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje. the different demigods and the kings of different planets who maintain the world. At last, when the creation is preparing to wind up, there is first the principle of irreligion, then Lord Shiva along with the atheists, full of anger. But all of them are but different manifestations of the Supreme Lord. Later Prabhupada writes, ultimately the material creation is but a temporary manifestation meant to give the chance of liberation to the conditioned souls who are entrapped in the material world, and one who develops the mode of goodness under the protection of Lord Vishnu has the greatest chance of being liberated by following the Vaishnava principles and thus being promoted to the kingdom of God, no more to return to this miserable material world. Like that. Yes, Prabhu. See, the question is, in the previous verse about Kalki avatar, it was mentioned that Kalki would appear when the sacrifices stop in the households where there is no chanting of Swaha, Swadha and Vashat. These are like various parts of mantras chanted while performing sacrifice. So the question is, in this age of Kali, Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the Yuga Dharma, then why is it mentioned about sacrifice? I would say probably it is indicative. These are the verses which indicate the performance of sacrifice. So probably it's a figurative way of mentioning that when the sacrifices stop, rather than to literally indicate a particular kind of sacrifice where oblations are poured into sacrificial fire while chanting Swaha. I think it's indicative of when the principle of sacrifice is sacrificed. So at that time Kalki avatar comes. That's my understanding. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Which one, Proji? 39?
So it seems that somebody can be a god, this Vibhuti avatar or Buddha avatar, or he cannot be devotee of and being a servant and other ones.
See, based on people's proclivities, they could be used for a particular purpose with the Supreme Lord. Like in maybe the Lord wanted the twin towers to be destroyed, so he engaged someone who had that inclination to destroy it. It doesn't mean that he is willingly engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord, but the Lord knows that, okay, he has this inclination and could be used in the service to accomplish it. Doesn't mean they willingly participate knowing that it is assisting the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's my understanding. Of course, Manus and the Prajapatis, they know. And of course, it is also mentioned that the Prajapatis have an inclination to procreate. And the Lord uses them in that service also. Some of them are favorable. They know that they are engaging in assisting the mission of the Lord. And some of them may not know, but then because they have the proclivity, Krishna utilizes them. So after, now that Brahmaji has, he's done glorifying the various Leelavataras, Manvantaravataras, then Yugavataras, Vibhutis, Manus, all of them he has glorified, Shaktiavesha Avataras. So now he is mentioning Vishnorno virya gananam katamor hatiha yap parthivanya pikavir vimame rajamsi chaskamba yasvara hasaskalata tripristam yasmatri samya sadana durukampayanam. Katamo kavihi. Kavi means intelligent person. Katamo. Can even a wise person, yaha parthivani rajamsi api vimame. There could be a person who is capable of counting the particles of dust on the planet Earth. Can even such a qualified person estimate Vishnor Virya Gananam? Is it possible for such a qualified person to estimate the glories of Lord Vishnu? This is not a question that Brahmaji is asking Narada Muni. It's like a rhetorical question, as they say. Ho sakta hai kya? Matlab, nahi hoga. That's what it means. Yaha triprishtam chaskamba. Who paralyzed the universe, sva askalata rahasa. Askalata, skhalanam means to trip and fall. Skhalanam. Na skhalen na pate diha. Skhaled. Askhalata means very firm step. Yasmad urukampayanam trisamya sadanat. So this Supreme Lord, with one swift, firm step, he could tremble this whole universe, starting from the outermost layer of Prakriti. Who is capable of doing it? And who is capable of understanding the glory of such a Lord, who with his one step could make this whole universe tremble? Which pastime is he referring to? Vamandev, Nistrivikram avatar. Which just one step he caused the whole universe to tremble. Like that. So basically he is telling, I have glorified the various avatars, but then how is it possible to, glorify completely the prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This personality with his one step could make this whole universe tremble. How can anyone understand the potency of this Supreme Personality of Godhead like that? Just like in the first canto, third chapter, after describing the various incarnations of Supreme Lord, Suta Goswami says, avatarahya sankeya. It's impossible to count the number of avatars. We may say that Vishnu appeared in dashavatar, 10 avatars. I mean, 10 avatars means not just 10 avatars. These are little prominent, but you know, the number of avatars is like unlimited. It is mentioned like, sometimes it's mentioned like waves in the ocean. No one can ever count the number of waves in the ocean. Or it's also sometimes compared to many small rivulets flowing into the ocean. Unlimited number of rivers and rivulets flow into the ocean. So it's like no one can count it. Similarly, the prowess or the potency of the Supreme Lord cannot be estimated by anyone. That's what is being mentioned here. Let's continue.
Nantam vidamyaham ami munayo grajaste maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye gayan gunandasha shatanana adideva sheshodunapi samavasyati nasya param.
Aham, myself, Lord Brahma, ami munayah, these very qualified sages, the four kumaras, te agraja, your elder brothers, na antam vidami. We do not know, even though we are very qualified, but we do not know the limit Purushasya maya balasya. We do not know the strength of the Lord's material energy. Not to speak of the spiritual energy. Kuto ye avara. What then to speak of these lower people? How can they understand the potency of the Supreme Lord? Sheshaha api. Even Ananta Shesh. Gayan Adi Devah Gunan. Even Lord Ananta Shesh has been singing the glories of the Supreme Lord. Adhuna, even till now, Abhibhi Garen, Dashashata Anana, with his thousands of heads, Na Asya Param Samavasyati, he still has not been able to complete singing the glories of the Supreme Lord. So such are the glories of the Supreme Lord that even Ananta Shesh is unable to exhaust by singing the glories of the Supreme Lord. Yes, bro. Fake incarnations. See, it is not that, at least we have to see that in this particular Kali Yuga, the incarnations that are predicted have already been predicted. So, and if those acharyas coming in any one of the bona fide sampradaya, if they have predicted for this particular Kali Yuga who are the expected incarnations, then we accept. But if none of the sampradaya acharyas are predicting, then we do not accept. Avatara hi asankhya means, you know, in many, many different universes, at different chaturyugas, different incarnations have come. But for this particular Kali Yuga, the acharyas who have come in this particular Kali Yuga, they have predicted who would be the incarnations coming. So that much we are clear. That does not mean every day some incarnation is, you know, coming up. It's not like that. And we can see the activities also. Symptoms are there. General symptoms of incarnations are there. As he mentioned, activities, the impact. Send him before a tiger. Yeah, something like that. So you generally know actually. So, but one may say here, starting from the previous chapter, again and again, Brahmaji has emphasized this point that actually I do not know the extent of glories of Lord Vishnu. I have not understood the Supreme Lord. But then, interestingly, for the last three chapters, he has been speaking to Narada Muni about the Supreme Lord. So, if he has not really understood, why take so much of Narada Muni's time speaking about the Supreme Lord? So one might ask, or Narada Muni might himself ask. In fact, this should have been the first verse you should have spoken. I would have never heard, you know, anything further. Now after speaking so much about the Supreme Lord, now you are telling I have not understood the Supreme Lord. Why have you wasted my time? He would not ask that. But someone may feel like that, you know, why speak three chapters glorifying the Supreme Lord, speaking about his pastimes, speaking about his creation, and now you are telling that I have not understood the Supreme Lord. Then what makes your words really worthwhile? Should I really listen to it or not? So he clarifies it in the next verse. So he says,
ఏషాం స ఏష భగవాన్ దయయేదనంత సర్వాత్మనాశ్రిత పదో యది నిర్వ్యలీకం తే దుస్తరామతి తరంతి చ దేవమాయాం నైషాం మమాహమితి ధీష్వ శృగాల భక్షే.
హి సేస్, మై డియర్ నారద ముని, వెన్ ఐ సెట్ ఐ డు నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ వాట్ ఐ మీన్ ఐ వాంట్ టు క్లారిఫై. సో హి సేస్ సహ ఏషాం టు దోస్ పీపుల్ హూమ్ భగవాన్ అనంతః దయయేత్. ఇఫ్ సమ్వన్ ఇస్ ఏబుల్ టు అట్రాక్ట్ ద దయా ఆర్ మర్సీ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్, వెన్ వుడ్ హీ బెస్టో ది మర్సీ? యది సర్వాత్మన ఆశ్రిత పదో నిర్వ్యలీకం. యది ఇఫ్ సర్వాత్మన విత్ ఆల్ దర్ మైండ్ బాడీ అండ్ వర్డ్స్ ఆశ్రిత పదో ఇఫ్ దే టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ నిర్వ్యలీకం వితౌట్ ఎనీ అల్టీరియర్ మోటివ్స్ దెన్ దే కెన్ అట్రాక్ట్ ది మర్సీ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ది రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ దట్ మర్సీ? అతితరంతి దుస్తరాం దేవమాయాం. అండ్ సచ్ పీపుల్ కెన్ వెరీ ఈజీలీ క్రాస్ ఓవర్ దిస్ డిఫికల్ట్ టు క్రాస్ ఓషన్ ఆఫ్ సంసార అండ్ అండర్స్టాండ్ మీ. సో బ్రహ్మాజీ సేస్, వెన్ ఐ సే ఐ డు నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్, వాట్ ఐ మీన్ ఇస్ బై మై బీయింగ్ బ్రహ్మ ఐ డు నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్, బట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ మై సిన్సియర్ టేకింగ్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణాస్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ బై దట్ క్వాలిఫికేషన్ ఐ హ్యావ్ అండర్స్టుడ్. లెట్స్ సే అవర్ ప్రైమ్ మినిస్టర్ నరేంద్ర మోదీస్ మదర్, షీ హెస్ బీన్ కుకింగ్ ఫర్ హిమ్ ప్రాబబ్లీ సిన్స్ లాస్ట్ మెనీ ఇయర్స్. ఐ డోంట్ నో హౌ ఓల్డ్ హీ ఈస్. సో జస్ట్ బికాస్ హీ హెస్ బికమ్ ది ప్రైమ్ మినిస్టర్ షీ ఈస్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ టు కుక్ ఎనీ స్పెషల్ ఐటమ్ ఆర్ సంథింగ్. వాట్ ఎవర్ హీ హెస్ బీన్ ఈటింగ్ ఫర్ ద లాస్ట్ మెనీ ఇయర్స్, దట్స్ వాట్ షీ హెస్ బీన్ కుకింగ్. సో ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు అట్రాక్ట్ ది అఫెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ దట్ పర్టిక్యులర్ లేడీ, హీ హెస్ నాట్ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు అట్రాక్ట్ అవర్ అటెన్షన్ ఎనీ మోర్ బికాస్ హీ ఈస్ ది ప్రైమ్ మినిస్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా. ఇట్ ఇస్ ద సేమ్ అఫెక్షన్. షీ హ్యాస్ అఫెక్షన్ ఫర్ దట్ పర్టిక్యులర్ పర్సనాలిటీ బికాస్ హీ ఈస్ హర్ సన్, నాట్ బికాస్ హీ ఈస్ ద ప్రైమ్ మినిస్టర్. దట్ వే హీ మే అట్రాక్ట్ ది అటెన్షన్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్యూ అదర్ బ్యూరోక్రాటిక్ పీపుల్ బట్ నాట్ ది అఫెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ మదర్. ద సేమ్ వే వెన్ బ్రహ్మాజీ సేస్ ఐ బ్రహ్మాజీ ఐ డు నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్, ఇట్ మీన్స్ దట్ బీయింగ్ బ్రహ్మ ఇస్ నాట్ అ క్వాలిఫికేషన్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్. Now he says the real qualification is dayayet bhagavan anantah. If you can attract the mercy of the supreme lord, then you can understand. But how one can attract the mercy? Sarvatmana yadi sarvatmana ashrita pado nirvyalikam. If without any material desires, if one can take shelter, sincerely take shelter of the lotus feet of the lord, then one can attract the mercy of the supreme lord. And when the mercy flows, then one can cross over the ocean of samsara and understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, merely material qualifications or material positions cannot attract the mercy of the Supreme Lord. That's what he is indicating here. Esham sayesha bhagavan dayayedananta sarvatmana ashrita pado yadi nirvyalikam te dustaram అతితరంతి చ దేవమాయాం. సచ్ అ పర్సన్ క్యాన్ క్రాస్ ఓవర్ దిస్ డిఫికల్ట్ టు క్రాస్ ఓషన్ ఆఫ్ సంసార. దెన్ హీ సేస్ నైషాం మమాహమితి దీశ్వ శృగాల భక్ష్యే. హీ సేస్ దాట్ దే దీస్ పీపుల్ ఏషాం న దీహి దే ఆర్ డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ ద ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ మమ అహం ఇతి ది మమ అహం ఇతి. బట్ దోస్ పీపుల్ But these people who think in terms of mama aham, bodily consciousness, they cannot understand. But those who think in terms of body, and what is this body? Shva Shrigala Bakshe. Shva means dogs. Shrigala is jackals. So, na esham, not these people who think in terms of me and mine with respect to this body which is fit to be eaten by dogs and jackals. This is one understanding. Esham, or he says that esham, these people, which people? Sarvatmana ashrita pado yadi nirviligam. These people who sincerely surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord without any material desires, what is the nature of these people? Na dihi, they do not have intelligence, mama aham iti, which thinks in terms of me and mine with respect to this body, shva shrigala bhakshya, which is fit to be eaten by dogs and jackals. So here esham refers to the devotees who have sincerely surrendered to the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada gives a slightly different translation. Prabhupada says, na esham, but not those people who think in terms of me and mine with respect to this body which is fit to be eaten by dogs and jackals. He says that those people who sincerely take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, they can attract his mercy and cross over this ocean of material samsara. Na esham, but not these people, mama aham iti di, who think in terms of me and mine with respect to body, shva shrigala bhakshe, which is meant to be eaten by dogs and jackals. So here esham refers to the materialistic people who think in terms of me and mine. Is it clear? The two different translations. Can someone recollect the first translation? What is the first translation? Yes, Prabhu.
The first translation mentions about devotees who are subject to the Supreme Lord. Only we can understand not the people who think in terms of me and mine.
That is the second translation. So in the first translation, esham refers to the devotees. And what is the nature of devotees? Na mama aham iti di. They do not have intelligence which think in terms of me and mine. So that translation describes what is the nature of devotee's intelligence. But Prabhupada's translation is slightly different. You can recollect. But my devotees can attract my mercy and cross over the ocean of material existence. Na esham, not these people who think in terms of me and mine with respect to this body, like that. So Brahmaji basically is mentioning here in this verse that any kind of material designation is not a qualification to attract the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification is sincerely taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Only by that one can attract the mercy of the Supreme Lord, like that. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the unalloyed devotees of the Lord know the glories of the Lord in the sense that they can understand how great the Lord is and how great is his expansion of diverse energy. So we may ask that, does a pure devotee know everything? Matlab, Prabhupada in one of the instances he has answered that he knows everything that is needed to go back home, back to Godhead. You may ask, can you tell me how many grains of sand are there in this temple compound? You know, those kind of things a pure devotee may not know, and that is not necessary to know also such things. That is not going to take us back home, back to Godhead. But Prabhupada says that whatever is needed to go back home, back to Godhead, that much a devotee knows. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. Krishna promises that one who is sincerely worshipping me, I will give him that knowledge by which he can come back to me. He doesn't promise that I will give him all kinds of material knowledge by which he can become a multimillionaire. You know, that kind of assurance is not given by Krishna. He says, Yena mam upayantite. I will give that knowledge by which he can come back to me and he can inspire others to come back to me. But not this kind of knowledge. And that knowledge does not necessarily mean that the devotee completely understands Krishna also. That's what Prabhupada is clarifying here. The unalloyed devotees of the Lord know the glories of the Lord in the sense that they can understand how great the Lord is and how great is his expansion of diverse energy. That much he knows. He may not know all the details. Suddenly if you go to someone or, you know, Prabhupada or Maharaj and ask, do you know who was the Manvantara avatar in the third Manu? They may not have it at their fingertips. It's not that kind of knowledge that is being spoken about here. How great the Lord is means they understand that he is unimaginably great beyond our imagination and he is fit to be offered our obeisances and, you know, service. That much he knows. But he understands that the Lord is great and how great he is, in the sense not in terms of details. Those who are attached to the perishable body can hardly enter into the realm of the signs of Godhead. So those who are attached to the perishable body can hardly enter into the realm of the signs of Godhead. Like that. Na esham mamaham itidi. Not these people who think in terms of me and mine. It's difficult. Unless therefore one is saved from the wrong conception of the body and the soul, there is no knowledge of Godhead. And unless there is knowledge of God, all advancement of material civilization, however dazzling, should be considered a failure. All advancement of material civilization, however dazzling, should be considered a failure. Therefore, when Prabhupada landed in Boston Pier, he had tears in his eyes. Not tears of ecstasy. Thank God you have brought me to this world of opportunities. But he really felt very compassionate, seeing the Boston Pier. So, and Prabhupada explains why. Unless therefore one is saved from the wrong conception of the body and soul, there is no knowledge of Godhead, and unless there is knowledge of God, all advancement of material civilization, however dazzling, should be considered a failure. Prabhupada is not against dazzling material advancement, because if you read the descriptions of the great cities of Dwaraka, Hastinapur, they were like quite advanced, if you materially also. But Prabhupada says that which is bereft of that material advancement, which is bereft of the knowledge of God, however dazzling it may be, should be considered as a failure, like that. So here Brahmaji is mentioning a very important principle, that ultimately by sincere surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the only way of understanding the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, merely material qualification is not a prerequisite. It's not a prerequisite to understand the Supreme Lord. But then Narada Muni may ask, do you have some example of those people who have surrendered sincerely to the Lord and understood the Supreme Lord. So he says, in three verses he gives the list of names of those people who have understood the Supreme Lord by surrendering unto him. Vedahamanga Yoga Mayam Yoyam Bhavascha Bhagavanata Daitya Varya Patni Mano Sacha Manuscha Dadatma Jascha Prachina Barhirriburanga Utadruvascha Ikshvako Raila Muchakunda Videha Gadi Ragvambarisha Sagaragaya Nahushadya Mandatra Larka Shatadanvanuranti Deva Devavrato Baliramuttarayo Dilipa Saubaryutanka Shibidevala Pippalada Sarasvatodava Parashara Bhurishena Yenye Vibhishana Hanumadupendra Datta Parthashtishena Vidurashruta Deva Varya. So he says, he gives. So here he says, he gives a list of names. He gives his own name first. Because all the while he has told, I do not know, I do not know, I do not know. So now he is giving a list of names. Because Veda Paramasya Yogamayam, know the power of the Lord. Because previously he said, actually we do not know the power of the Lord. Neither me nor you. But here he gives his own name first and Narada Muni's name second. You also fall in that category, he says. First he said, I do not know, you do not know. Now he says, of all the people who know, I also fall in that category, you also fall in that category. So indicates that you by not being the great sage Narada, but you by being a person who has sincerely surrendered to the Supreme Lord, that way you know. Not because of being Narada Muni. Says, myself, you, Lord Shiva, Prahlad, Shatarupa, Swayambhuva, his sons, Prachinabarhi, Ribu, Anga, Dhruva, Ikshvaku, Aila, Aila is Pururava, Muchakunda, Janaka, Gadi, Raghu, Ambarisha, Sagara, Gaya, Nahusha, Mandata, Alarka, Shatadanva, Anu, Rantideva, Bhishma, Bali, Amuttaraya, Dilipa, Saubari, Utanka, Shibi, Devala, Pippalada, Dadichi, Uddava, Parashara, Bhurishena, Vibhishana, Hanuman, Shukadev, Arjuna, Arshtisena, Vidura and Shrutadev. They all know the power of the Supreme Lord. And like that he gives a list of names of those people who know the power of the Supreme Lord. Yeah, Shobari Muni also. See, generally, whenever such discussions come, naturally, people ask this question. Now, how come his name is there? See, the point is that every sage has a past and every sinner has a future. So, certain pastimes are there in Bhagavatam, not for the purpose of critical assessment of a particular personality. This is how the personality is. No personality remains the same. Based on experiences, we all know how through the association of devotees, people change. One may ask, Prachina Barhi, where did his name come from? If we do not have faith that Prachina Barhi would fall in this category, then we do not have faith in the purifying potency of Narada Muni's association. Certain pastimes are there not for us to judge that for eternity this personality will be like this only. It is never like that. Everyone changes. In fact, it is mentioned in Bhagavatam that anyone who, like yesterday also we saw this, that anyone who takes up to worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's only a question of time before he gets purified of his Anya Bilasha. So, if one takes up to devotional service, one cannot eternally perform a bhakti which is not Anya Bilashita Shunyam. It is not at all possible. If he starts worshipping Krishna, Krishna ensures that all the Abhilashas get destroyed. So therefore, one cannot eternally be a mixed devotee. It is impossible, even if one may want to. If one wants to be eternally a mixed devotee, then somehow Krishna facilitates in such a way that he gives up that desire. That is what the Lord says, that satyam dishati artitam artito ndanam naivartado yat punarartito yatah swayam vidatte bhajatam anichatam icchapidanam nijapada pallavam. He says that even if one worships the Supreme Lord with a material desire, one need not fear that the Lord is only there for akama devotees, those who have no material desires. He says that satyam dishati, don't worry, he will 100% fulfill that desire. But how? Naivartado yat punarartito yatah. He fulfills it in such a way that you will never approach him to fulfill such desires again. You will not have that desire for a second time. That is the way in which he fulfills. What does it mean? He says, swayam vidatte nijapada pallavam. Because he gives that person his own lotus feet. Anichchatamapi. Even though he has not asked for his lotus feet, but still he gives his lotus feet. And the nature of his lotus feet is icchapidanam. That lotus feet is capable of fulfilling all the desires that one ever had, that he has right now, and he can ever have in the future. It's a superset of all desires. It's a superset of all possible desires that one can have. That is the nature of Krishna fulfilling the desires. Yes, Prabhu. Why we are discussing this? I forgot the link. How come Shaubari's case? Yeah, so that's the nature of Krishna, that that the moment one starts worshipping the Lord, in fact, some very strange names are here. Pururava's case is there. I mean, of course, running after Urvashi is not the only thing that Pururava did in his whole life. That could have been one of the things. If people would want to judge us by, one not so mentionable thing that we have ever performed in our life, I mean, it's not very fair to judge us based on, even before coming to Krishna consciousness, I mean, many of you would have had like quite honorable lives, but not all of us, probably, certainly not me. But it would be unfair to judge a whole person's life based on a particular act that he performed. Those pastimes are there in Bhagavatam for a specific purpose, to impart particular lessons, but not to judge, that particular person for eternity, like that. Yes, bro. Vivida, yeah. becomes inimical. Yeah. See, it is mentioned that the potency in, again in Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur discusses this very question that you asked in the section on aparads. So he says that at some point the potency of aparad is such that it can sometime take him, one could have reached a stage of bhava, but because of some aparad, it is possible that he could be taken outside the realm of Shraddha also. He has lost Shraddha completely, which means he is no longer qualified. But he mentions that it is just a temporary stage. But over a period of time, it is just like a person who has become so sick that he has lost all appetite. But he says that, but slowly when he puts himself in the under medication, then slowly he starts becoming cured of that disease. But still, he cannot take very heavy nutritious food, nutrient-rich food. He has to take something like coconut water or something which is like a, that kind of a light food. Indicating that such a person who has left devotional service because of offenses, he starts getting initially attracted to some peripheral activities. He cannot immediately jump into core devotional activities like Shravanam, Kirtanam, attending the whole morning program. So such a person, he will first get attracted to peripheral devotional activities, and slowly when he takes the nourishment, then slowly he starts coming towards the core devotional activities. But it is mentioned that such a fall down is not an eternal, it's not an eternal fall down, but it is just temporary, because Krishna never permanently punishes anyone, because everyone has a scope for improvement. But even, apparently, when we see some people completely even leaving devotional service, it is not their final position. Slowly Krishna brings them back, as Narada Muni mentions to Vyasadev in the first chapter of, in the first canto, Navai jano jato katanchana vrajen mukunda sevi anyavad atra samsritim smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar vihato michen na rasagraho jana. So he says that, my dear Vyasadev, you do not understand the potency of devotional service. A person who might have taken up to devotional service and eventually given it up completely should not be considered a fallen person, just like any other fallen karmi. So he should not be considered in that same avato is a fall, uska to fall down ho gaya. He should not be considered like that. He says, Navai jano jatu katanchana avrajen. Such a person is so special that he doesn't take birth again being forced by his karma, even though he has given up completely devotional service. But that's just a, that's just a very temporary phase. Why? Because he says, Smaran Mukundangri Upaguhanam. This person has experienced the embrace of Krishna. Rasagrahojana. That he has tasted that rasa of Krishna's embrace while he was practicing. And either in the form of prasadam or nice devotees association or nice Bhagavatam classes or whatever, Harinam Sankirtan, he has experienced that embrace of Krishna, and that will haunt him. punar, again and again, those impressions will come and pull him back. It's just a question of time whether before he will come back again and start practicing devotional service. So we cannot judge. Of course, we have to be careful about offenses. It has the potency of taking us away from Krishna temporarily. But we will be nursed back to health. Slowly, 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 slowly. That's how it is being described. No one is eternally condemned. That's the point. Yeah. Yeah, by offenses it is mentioned that one loses actually. Yeah, it could become zero also. Yeah. So he says that one loses Shraddha completely. Completely one loses Shraddha. So that's possible actually. Once experienced in the sense, not just sometime, just once heard the kirtan and liked the music, not that kind of person. One who has come to at least the stage of Shraddha, has taken some sadhu sangha and performed some bhajana kriya, at least that much. Not just once heard the kirtan or once had prasad. It must have culminated in his developing faith. Yeah, faith, yeah. See, if he has become, we are talking about his becoming a bhakti adhikari. Bhakti adhikari means like the qualifications of bhakti. Jata shraddho matkatasu. He has faith in the devotional limbs. Nirvidno sarva karmasu. He does not feel that, apart from bhakti, I need to perform other things also to perfect my life. He has faith only in the limbs of bhakti. That much level he must have come to. Yeah, at least Shraddha must have manifested. It's talking about Shraddha, not just that. Yeah. Adav Shraddha. Adav Shraddha. We are talking about Shraddha. Shraddha means Adav Shraddha. Yeah, that Shraddha itself is like a big thing. It's not very easy to attain that stage. Very rare. Can you increase the volume? See, when it comes to offenses, I'll show you, maybe not now, because I'll also have to check it. It's there in the third shower of Madhurya Kadambini, it is described about offenses. How offenses actually have the capacity to push one outside the realm of Shraddha, which means from he has gone from Shraddha to Sadhu Sangha to Bhajanakriya to Anarthanivritti to Nishta to Ruchi to Asakti, he can be pushed all the way back to before Shraddha. Whether is it a covering, has he lost it? In one sense, it is never lost because it is mentioned Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai. In that sense, no one ever loses it. It's always there, but the access is lost. What is the use of that treasure for which you do not have access? You may have it, but if you do not have access for it, you cannot use it. So whether the access is lost or the treasure itself is lost, it's for all practical purposes, it's more or less the same. So he says that these are the list of people who have perfected their life by knowing the Supreme Lord. So therefore, the point that I have mentioned is right, like that Brahmaji may say. But again, one might raise an issue that all these people who have mentioned that Prahlad, Shatarupa, Swayambhuva Manu, Prachina Barhi, Anga Maharaj, Gaya, Nahusha, Ambarish, Gadi, Janaka, Rantidev, these are either great Kshatriyas, Rajarishis, or they were great sages, which means either Brahmanas or Kshatriyas. So it seems like to gain the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one needs a very favorable Varnashram situation, either in as a Brahmana or as a Kshatriya. Because Hanumanji is there, of course, one example, but most of the others are like, in one sense, Hanumanji was also not in that sense like a monkey. It was not exactly monkey, but they were like Kim Purushas. So, but most of these people seem to be quite exalted people. So one may say that it seems like you need to have a very good material position to actually attract the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So in response to this, Brahmaji says in the next verse, Devai vidantyati taranti cha deva mayam stri shudra hona shabara apipapa jiva Yadyadbhuta krama parayana shila shikshas tiryak janapikim ushruta dharanaye. He says, stri, shudra, huna, shabara. Women, shudras, huna, shabaras, api, and other kinds of papa jiva. Those who do not have a very favorable yoni. Tevai atitarantita devamayam. Don't think that only very qualified people can cross over the ocean of samsara and know me. Even those who have had little not so favorable births, or however sinful that birth may be, tevai vidanti atitarantita devamayam. Even they can understand me and cross over this ocean of. Even they can understand the Lord and cross over the ocean of material existence. How? Yadi, if Adbhuta Krama Parayana Shila Shiksha. Shiksha, if they take tutelage or if they learn from Adbhuta Krama Parayana. Adbhuta Krama or Urukrama is the Supreme Lord. Adbhuta Krama Parayana means devotees who have dedicated their lives to the Supreme Lord. Shila. If one learns about the behavior of pure devotees, then they can know me and cross over this ocean of material existence, however degraded their life may be. Yadi adbhuta krama parayana shila shikshas. But one may say that ये तो सबसे तो होगा नहीं, not everyone can do. You see, my life was so degraded, I used to smoke, I used to drink. How can I get trained in Adbhuta Krama Parayana Shila? How can I get trained as a devotee? It's impossible. You know, you should look out for some person who is at least in mode of goodness, or at least predominantly in mode of goodness. They can take up to devotional service. You know, I have had such a degraded life. How can I take up to devotional service? One may, you know, express such a sentiment. Brahmaji says, Tiryak janapi kim u. Even an animal can be trained in Shila Shiksha. You call a dog, you say that, Jimmy, come here. If you have trained him properly, he will come. Jimmy, sit. He will sit. Jump. He will jump. You see, a dog can be trained in Shila Shiksha. Why not human beings? Tiryak janapi kim u. Shrutadaranaye. Human beings have the capacity to shruta dharana. Hear and apply. Absorb and apply. That capacity is there in human beings. But a parrot or a dog, they do not have that capacity. They may just repeat or do whatever you say. They do not have the capacity of shruta dharana. Human beings have, however degraded samskaras they may have, but there is a, but at least that capacity to get trained is there. So therefore he says, with great anger he says, therefore no one should give this as an excuse that I have had a very degraded life, so I cannot take up to devotional service. That excuse is not accepted by Brahmaji, or none of the acharyas accept. So therefore, to be in a favorable material mode is not a qualification to take up to bhakti. Or to have had an unfavorable material life is not a disadvantage to take up to devotional service. But of course, to progress further, one has to cultivate favorable modes, mode of goodness. But to take up to devotional service, no mode is favorable, no mode is unfavorable. One may say, oh, someone in mode of goodness, he is favorable to take up to it. No. Okay, I'll give you some examples. See, it all boils down to what kind of preaching strategy that one may use. Say, for example, someone was sharing with me that in the United States, when some of the people started, some of the devotees, they started this Nam Rock. You must be knowing Titikshava Karunika Prabhu. You know, holy name in rock music. Okay. So, many people who have had very, very sinful background but were attached to rock music, they took up to Krishna consciousness. But if that same music was, if that same holy name was presented in a very classical raga, okay, in classical music, maybe those people would not have been they would not have been attracted. And interestingly, to those rock music, some in those days, this is like probably 90s, some devotee who is now a devotee, but at that time he had attended that program along with one of his friends, and he didn't have any great penchant for rock music or anything. His friend, who had a very sinful background, he took up to Krishna consciousness hearing that Nam Rock. But this person, who was from a very pious background, Indian background, he got completely repulsed hearing the holy name being sung in such a sort of, in his own words, demoniac way. So it depends on, so it does not depend on piety. No one with a pious background is more favorable to take up to devotional service, and someone with an impious background is not at a disadvantageous position to take up to devotional service. So this is something which is repeatedly mentioned in the scriptures. But of course, to further progress, a favorable lifestyle is very much needed. As Krishna says, Esham to antagatam prapam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrata. That a person who is sinless, Esham to antagatam papam, who has finished off his sins, jananam punyakarmanam, here punyakarma refers to agyata sukriti, te dvandva moha nirmukta, such a person overcomes dualities and bhajante mam dridavrata. He can perform dridavrata bhajan, which means nishta. Okay, so it means that one who has crossed over the stage of anartha nivritti can practice steady devotional service. It does not mean to start devotional service only one should be sinless. Then there is no meaning to kleshagni. Taking up to devotional service destroys all sins. If destruction of sins is a prerequisite to take up to devotional service, then there is no meaning to kleshagni. So therefore, esham to antagatam papam verse indicates that being sinless is not a prerequisite to take up to bhakti, but to perform steady devotional service, destruction of anarthas is required. That's what it means. So here he says that api papa jiva, whatever may be one's sinful background, all he needs to have is a desire to get trained under a pure devotee. If that desire is there, how much ever sinful a person's background might be, he can cross over this ocean of samsara and know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the principle which is being presented by Brahmaji here to Narada Muni. Yes, Prabhu. Can someone pass the mic? See, many times when terminologies are used in scriptures, sometimes they have a relative usage and sometimes they have an absolute usage. Okay? For example, I give this example of anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti means anarthas are destroyed. It might seem like after anartha nivritti stage, at the stage of nishta, there are no anarthas. But it's not like that. It's a relative usage in the sense that anartha nivritti means so much anarthas are destroyed so that one can steadily practice. But even at the stage of nishta, anarthas are there. What to speak of that even at the stage of bhava, some trace anarthas are there. But those anarthas are at such a level where they do not disturb his steady practice of devotional service. That is the meaning. So not all words in scriptures have an absolute usage. They have relative usages also, like that. Prabhuji, you had? Lifelong? But if he has accepted Krishna consciousness, slowly he will get purified of his modes also, no? Yeah, yeah, quite possible. Slowly they may lose taste for that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, correct. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, in the Bhagavad Gita 18.66, the Lord asked Arjuna to surrender unto him, and therefore persons unwilling to do so question where God is and whom they should surrender. When it is so clear, when people ask such questions, Prabhupada says it's indicative, it indicates that they are unwilling to surrender. The answer to such questions or inquiries is given herein very properly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead may not be present before one's eyes, but if one is sincere in wanting such guidance, the Lord will send a bona fide person who can guide one properly back home, back to Godhead. So that sincere desire to learn and be guided must be there. Then the Lord sends the appropriate person. There is no need of material qualifications for making progress on the path of spiritual realization. In the material world, when one accepts some particular type of service, he is required to possess some particular type of qualification also. Without this, one is unfit for such service. But in the devotional service of the Lord, the only qualification required is surrender. Surrendering oneself is in one's own hand. If one likes, he can surrender immediately without delay, and that begins his spiritual life. The bona fide representative of God is as good as God himself, or in other words, the loving representative of the Lord is more kind and more easy to approach. A sinful soul cannot approach the Lord directly, but such a sinful man can very easily approach a pure devotee of the Lord. And if one agrees to put himself under the guidance of such a devotee of the Lord, he can also understand the signs of God and can also become like the transcendental pure devotee of the Lord and thus get his liberation back to God, back home for eternal happiness. So ultimately, the desire to surrender and learn, that is important. If that is there, whatever may be one's background, he is qualified to take up to devotional service. But having said that, the baggage will determine the pace of progress. That is there. But to take up to devotional service, whatever may be one's baggage, it doesn't matter. So one may say that, but Prabhuji, when we go to preach, mostly only people with pious backgrounds, they take up to Krishna consciousness. Those with impious background do not take. That is probably indicative of our approach to preaching also. We may package it in such a way that it attracts more pious people, in one sense. So, but it is certainly not mentioned anywhere in the scriptures that only a pious soul can take up to devotional service, and impiety is an obstacle to take up to devotional service. Time for a break. Half an hour break. So we'll convene back at 10:40. Describing to Narada Muni about what is the qualification to know the Supreme Lord. What is the qualification to know the Supreme Lord? Yeah. the qualification to understand the Supreme Lord is if one attracts his mercy. How does one attract his mercy? Sarvatmana ashrita pado yadi nirvyalikam. If one sincerely, without any material motives, surrenders to the Supreme Lord, that is the qualification to understand the Supreme Lord and cross over this ocean of material existence. So Brahmaji was mentioning this to Narada Muni, and he gave examples of so many people who had achieved this. And he also finally mentions that in order to achieve it, one need not have any material qualification. Stri Shudra Huna Shabara Apipapa Jiva Yadi Adbhuta Krama Parayana Shila Shiksha. The only qualification is that he must be willing to put himself under the guidance of a great devotee, and he must be willing to progress. That desire to progress must be there, to learn must be there. Okay. So, next he says, Srila Vishnu Thakur mentions what is the connection. He says, the Lord is realized in three stages, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. From 2.6.45, which means the previous chapter, the last section was Brahmaji glorifying the Purushavataras. And then till 2.7.42, from 2.6.45 to 2.7.42, it is all glorifying the Bhagavan feature of the Lord. Yeah, Leelavataras, Purushavataras. But ultimately it is the Bhagavan feature of the Lord. So, in the next few verses, he is going to glorify the Brahman and Paramatma feature of the Supreme Lord also.
In 42, sorry,
42 is talking about how the mercy of the Lord is needed to understand the Supreme Lord. More or less, 41 or 42, it's glorifying the Bhagavan feature of the Supreme Lord. So now he is going to glorify the Brahman and Paramatma feature. So he says,
Shashvat prashantam abhayam pratibhodamatram Shuddham samam sadasata paramatma tattvam Shabdo na yatra purukarakavan kriyarto Maya paraitya bimukecha vilajjamana Tadvaipadam bhagavata paramasya pumso Brahmeti yatvidurajasra sukam vishokam.
So he says, paramatma tattvam, this paramatma tattva is Shashvat Prashantam. Shashvat Prashantam means eternally peaceful. Peaceful because, why is Paramatma Tattvam peaceful? He is neutral. He is a neutral witness. That's why when India is playing Pakistan or India is playing Australia cricket or whatever, people get very excited. People in Sri Lanka don't get so excited because Sri Lanka is not playing. They are just neutral. If someone is neutral, then they can be peaceful, whatever may be happening. We hear about so many people dying, so many people being afflicted with cancer and other such deadly diseases, we don't get so much affected. But as soon as we hear one of our dear relatives or someone known to us getting afflicted by the same disease, suddenly it affects us. Why? Because we are no longer neutral, isn't it? So, that is the point. The Paramatma Tattvam is Shashvat Prashantam. But the Bhagavan feature is anything but Prashantam when it comes to his devotees. He is, because he is not neutral. The Lord is addressed as Swanam Paksha Poshana. He always tries to nourish his Swapaksha. Whoever are his teammates, he is very partial towards them. He is Swanam Paksha Poshana. That's why we should always try to get in Krishna's team, because he tries to nourish people in his team and neglect others in spite of being accused of nepotism. You know what is nepotism? Favoritism. Like, if you become a big minister, then you ensure all your relatives also get in the cabinet. Somehow give them some post so that they can also flourish. So Krishna is, he is not, he is Swanam Paksha Poshana. So therefore he is not Prashantam. When Arjuna took this vow that by tomorrow evening, if I do not kill this Jayadrath, I will enter fire. And then he peacefully went to sleep. Krishna couldn't sleep the whole night. He was wondering, what is this? He takes all such whimsical vows, and now I have to think over time to see how I can protect this Arjuna. And then somehow he figures out a way to protect Arjuna. Same we see in the case of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Bhishma Dev is he has almost cornered Arjuna. Arjuna is almost going to lose, he is going to die. And Krishna, it's mentioned that Yudhi Turaga Rajo Vidumra Vishwak Kacha Lulita Shramavari Alankritasi. In the Bhagavatam, it is described that the Paramatma's hair is it has a bluish black tint and it's very shiny. But the hair of Krishna on the battlefield, it's mentioned it's gray, it was grayish in color. Because all the dust from the hoofs of the horse, it had just gotten deposited on his hair. And it is mentioned that Shramavari Alankritasi. His forehead was decorated by pearls of Shramavari. Shramavari means, Vari is water. Shramavari is that water that comes out of pressure. So, and he broke his vow, took a chariot wheel, and he started charging towards Bhishma Dev. So, that is the nature of Bhagavan. But Paramatma is Upadrashta Anumanta. He just peacefully watches. So, therefore, he can be at peace. So, that therefore, he is addressed as Shashwat Prashantam. He is eternally peaceful. Abhayam, and he is fearless. Pratibodha Matram, he bestows knowledge. What is that verse? Krishna tells, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto Mattas Mritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. As Paramatma, he bestows knowledge. Shuddham, he is pure. Sad Asataha Samam. It's not like he stays in the, it's not like he prefers to stay in the heart of some exalted beings, but he really feels disgusted to stay in the heart of inferior animalistic bodies. It's not like that. He's absolutely equal. Whether he has to stay as Paramatma in the heart of a hog or Indra, doesn't matter. He's the same. Sad Asataha Samam. So that's about the features of Paramatma. Then about Brahman, it is mentioned, Brahma Iti Yad Viduhu. That feature is called Brahman. Ajasra Shukam, in which there is unlimited happiness. Vishokam, freedom from grief. Tadvai Bhagavataha Paramasya Pumso Padam. Padam here refers to aspect. Padam could refer to abode also, but in this context it refers to one aspect. This Brahman is one of the aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Puru karakavan kriyarto shabdah na yatra, which words with action as their object and words with many case relations cannot describe. This is similar to what we saw in one of the previous chapter verses, again glorifying the Brahman feature. You know, you cannot describe the Brahman in terms as belonging to Brahman or Brahman's qualities like that. Maya paretyabhimukhe vilajjamana. Maya being ashamed cannot stand before that Lord whose feature is this Brahman, like that it is described. So these are the features of Paramatma and Brahman, and he is glorifying the Paramatma feature and the Brahman feature, because he has already glorified the Bhagavan feature extensively. So here it is mentioned, the Lord is realized in three stages: Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. The Bhagavan feature has already been described or glorified in the previous verses. Now this verse glorifies the Brahman and Paramatma features. The super soul who lives in all the jivatmas, whether high or low, has an impartial disposition, samam. He is eternally peaceful, sashvat prashantam, and he bestows knowledge, pratibodha matram, and he is fearless and pure, abhayam shuddham. Now, then further, Brahman is described. What are the characteristics of Brahman? It is mentioned, shabdona yatra puru karakavan kriyarto. That is, that aspect of the Lord which words indicating objects and implying relationship along with action cannot describe. Which means, you know, you cannot describe as anything belonging to Brahman or related to Brahman like that. So then it is mentioned, though this Brahman is beyond words, it is the formless aspect of Bhagavan who can be described. Okay, Brahman itself cannot be described, but that Brahman which is one of the aspects of Bhagavan, that Bhagavan can be described in unlimited words. And then it is mentioned that how is Brahman mentioned as ajasra shukam vishokam, unlimited happiness and freedom from grief. It is mentioned that realization of this Brahman aspect of the Lord bestows one with unrestricted pleasure and dissipation of grief. That's what it's mentioned like here. So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the conception of impersonal Brahman realization is the first step due to his distinction from the illusory concept of material existence. In other words, impersonal Brahman is a feature of the absolute distinct from the material variegatedness. So when you say the first aspect of understanding the absolute truth is to understand that he is not matter. He is not made of matter. Later, one may understand that he has absolutely no material qualities. That is the first step of understanding. And that level of understanding is the understanding of Brahman. And then further, when one progresses towards the aspect of Bhagavan, where one progressively starts accepting spiritual qualities or qualities to that Brahman, and at the perfection one accepts that Bhagavan to have all spiritual qualities, Kalyana Guna Sagara. The Supreme Lord is addressed as an ocean of all auspicious spiritual qualities. That is the perfection of one's understanding of the absolute truth. In other words, impersonal Brahman is a feature of the absolute distinct from the material variegatedness. Just as light is a conception distinct from its counterpart darkness. Very nice explanation Prabhupada gives here. So light is distinct from darkness. That is a very basic classification. But the light has its own variegatedness. It could be white light or yellow light, or it could be a focused light, or it could be a much more diffused light. It could be floodlights. Okay. Or it could be your table lamp light, depending on whatever activity you choose to do. So, but the light has its variegatedness, which is seen by those who further advance in the light. Which means, when one further advances on the path of devotion, then one starts seeing variegatedness in that light. Otherwise, from a distance, it looks like light, that's all. But then when one progresses towards the light, one starts seeing variegatedness in that light. And thus the ultimate realization of Brahman is the source of the Brahman light, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the ultimate realization is realizing Bhagavan, who is the source of Brahman. Brahmanohi Pratishta Aham. Therefore, meeting the personality of Godhead includes realization of the impersonal Brahman as realized at first, in contrast with material inability. So therefore, it is mentioned that a devotee has perfect understanding of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. But one who has just Brahman realization, he has, and even though he may seem to have a very clear understanding of Brahman, but still that understanding is incomplete. Because he may think that Brahman is the complete understanding of the absolute truth, which is wrong. One may perfectly describe that, you know, that train, he may say that light, you know, it is so much in diameter, and he might have analyzed that light so clearly, but ultimately a devotee may not so clearly describe that light, you know, what color exactly was that light, how much diameter and all those things, but at least he knows that light is not an independent light, it is just a part of, it is the headlight of a train. That much he knows. So only superficially it may seem that a jnani who is dedicating his life to understanding the impersonal feature has a much more clearer understanding of the Brahman feature. But it's only on a very superficial level, actually. Actually, a devotee may not understand the details of that Brahman, but he understands, in the overall sense, he understands the Brahman feature, Paramatma feature, and Bhagavan feature much better than a yogi or a jnani who has dedicated his life to understand the impersonal features of the Supreme Lord. Like that. In that sense. Or like, for example, you may have in a factory, you may have different units where each unit is engaged in producing a particular part. But the owner of that company may not know the minute details of producing each and every part, but then he has an overall understanding of how it is assembled and what is the final purpose of creating all those parts. So knowledge of the details is not necessarily an indication of a perfect overall understanding. Overall understanding is more important than, you know, minute details. That is certainly the ultimate phase of the supreme enjoyer, the personality of Godhead. Personality of Godhead. So when Prabhupada is addressing absolute Brahman, is full of bliss, and his feature is the Brahma Jyoti. Yeah, basically Prabhupada is describing the personal form of the Lord only, but of course in the purport he talks about the Brahman feature also, impersonal Brahman, because he is addressing as he is complete consciousness as opposed to matter. Or as I understand, Prabhupada is, because this Brahman is non-different from Bhagavan, instead of Prabhupada is almost describing the Brahman feature, but as if it is just a part of the Bhagavan feature of the Supreme Lord. I mean, that's how I am able to relate to it. Otherwise, he is addressing as he, but he is also addressing the Brahman feature to by uncontaminated and without distinctions. The Lord is certainly, in his personal feature, is not without distinctions. But here he is addressed as, so it seems like he is speaking about the Brahman feature as being a part of Bhagavan. Because he is addressing as he. The Brahman is not addressed as he. Like, this is my understanding. Yeah. Yeah. He is also absolute Brahman. I mean, if you read the whole translation, it seems like at some point he is describing the Brahman feature, but at some point seems like he is describing the Bhagavan feature. But what I understand is he is describing Brahman as being a feature of Bhagavan. That's my understanding. So then, in the next verse, he says that he establishes that even though the Brahman feature and Paramatma features are features of the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, why one should worship the Bhagavan feature of the Lord? That's what he is describing here. In this verse, 48th verse, he says, Sadhyanyamyatayo yama akarta hetim jahyusvaradivanipana kanitramindra. He says, Yatayaha. Yatayaha means the yogis and sannyasis. Yati. Yati Raj. Ramanujacharya is addressed as Yati Raj, means the king of all sannyasis. Sadhryak Niyamya. Sadhryak means complete. Niyamya means to control. The great yogis and sannyasis who have perfectly concentrated their mind on Brahman and Paramatma, Jahyuhu, they give up that path. They give up that sadhana of concentrating their mind on Brahman and Paramatma, in which one has to keep seeing the non-difference. Non-difference between the living entity and the Brahman. Swarad Indraha Nipana Kanitram Iva. As much as Indra is indifferent to digging a well. This seems like a little confusing verse. What it means is, Indra he must have performed lot of sadhana to achieve that post of Indra. But once, like, one of the sadhana could be to dig a well, because to dig a well is considered as a very pious activity. It's considered amongst many pious activities. Digging a well for public welfare is considered to be a very important pious activity. But after becoming Indra, he would not continue to perform that sadhana which he had performed to achieve the post of Indra. Okay, he would give it up. So which means that act of digging a well and other such pious activities have only a limited utility, only till that goal is reached. Similarly, the sadhana performed by these people who worship the Brahman and Paramatma feature, that the utility of that sadhana is only till they achieve their goal. After that, they give up that process. Once they achieve Paramatma realization or Brahman realization, they no longer perform that sadhana, which means that sadhana has a limited utility. Only till that particular goal is reached, that sadhana is useful. After that, it is no longer useful. Okay. On the other hand, a devotee, when he worships Bhagavan through the process of bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, even after attaining the goal of that sadhana, which is prema, he continues to perform that same process with much more intensity and eagerness. Which means that process is not given up even at the point of perfection. So therefore, that sadhana which has utility eternally is considered to be the best sadhana. Therefore, bhakti, which is the process of worshipping Bhagavan, is considered to be the best sadhana. That's what he is explaining. Because he has described Bhagavan, now he has described Paramatma and Brahman, which are also considered as features of the Supreme Lord. But now when it comes to which sadhana, there is one sadhana to worship the Brahman, another sadhana to worship Paramatma, another sadhana to worship Bhagavan. Which sadhana is the best? He says, bhakti is the best. So in this verse, who is compared to Indra? Huh? Someone is telling devotees. Those who worship the Brahman and Paramatma features, the yogis and sannyasis, they are compared to Indra. What is compared to digging the well? The process of jnana and yoga, that is compared to digging a well. And what is Brahmaji trying to explain by giving this analogy? Because that means or the sadhana is given up at some point, it is inferior. But bhakti is never given up, therefore it is a superior sadhana. That is one understanding which Vishnu Chakradhakur gives. Prabhupada gives a slightly different explanation of this analogy, but conclusion is same. So here he says that the yogis and sannyasis, here Prabhupada compares Indra to the devotees. Indra is compared to the devotees. Just like other people have to engage in different ways to get water. Some has to dig a well. Some people have to dig a bore well. Some people may have to walk to the river to fetch some water. Or others who are still more unfortunate may have to pay to the municipal corporation to purchase water. Whatever it may be, but they have to do some sadhana to get water. But something very difficult. But what sadhana does Indra, who is the controller of this whole water department, what sadhana does he have to perform? He does not have to perform anything very strenuous to obtain water for himself. So Prabhupada is comparing Indra to the devotees. Just like Indra does not have to perform anything strenuous to get water for himself, similarly the devotees do not have to perform strenuous sadhana like what the yogis or the jnanis do to achieve realization of the absolute truth. For them the process is susukam. It's very happy and blissful to perform. They need not take pains to, you know, dig a well or dig a bore well or whatever it may be. So here in this Prabhupada's example, Indra is compared to, who is compared to Indra? The devotees are compared to Indra. What is compared to digging the well? The strenuous processes of jnana and yoga. Okay, and how Prabhupada is explaining this analogy? Get water. Similarly, the devotees do not have to work strenuously to realize their object of worship, which is Bhagavan, unlike the jnanis and yogis. That is Prabhupada's explanation. Like that. Simple. Yeah. Ashtanga Yoga. Yogi sadhana is Ashtanga Yoga. Jnani sadhana is Jnana Yoga. Yeah. Okay. Let's continue.
Sashreyasamapi vibhur Bhagavan yatosya bhavasva bhava vihitasya sata prasiddhi dehesva dhatu vigamenu vishiryamane vyomeva tatra purushona vishiryateja.
He says that even though one may perform some sadhana to realize the Bhagavan, to realize the Brahman feature or the Paramatma feature, but ultimately that sadhana has to have the element of worshipping the Bhagavan feature, because only the Bhagavan feature can bestow result of any practice. That's what is mentioned here. He says, Saha Bhagavan, that supreme personality of God at Bhagavan, Shreyasam api vibuhu. Shreyasam means result of all auspicious processes. Shreyasam api vibuhu means that Bhagavan feature is the bestower of the results of all the processes, whether it is Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Yato, and from him only, Prasiddhihi, the perfection of sadhana, Bhava Swabhava Vihitasya Prasiddhihi, means each one according to his qualification performs a particular sadhana. Someone is qualified for Jnana, he performs Jnana Yoga. Someone is qualified for Ashtanga Yoga, he performs Ashtanga Yoga. Someone who is qualified for Karma, he performs Karma Yoga. And someone who has gained qualification for Bhakti, he performs Bhakti Yoga. So everyone has to act according to the qualification that they have gained. So, Bhava Swabhava Vihitasya Sato Prasiddhi. And based on that qualification, they perform a particular process to achieve a particular goal. Who bestows that goal? Is it the Brahman feature? Is it the Paramatma feature? No. It's the Bhagavan feature who bestows the goal. So therefore, the Bhagavan feature should be worshipped even by those who desire to realize the Brahman and Paramatma feature of the Supreme Lord. We saw in the fourth chapter of second canto, the prayers of Shukadeva Goswami, where he again and again repeats this point about how even those jnanis who have a desire to realize the Brahman feature of the Lord have to worship the Bhagavan feature. And he also talks about the same about yogis. Tapasvino, Danapara, Yashasvino, Manasvino, Mantra Vida, Sumangala. Kshemam na vindanti vinaya darpanam. Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha. Like that. But then one may say, what if I, while worshipping the Supreme Lord to achieve my goal, if I give up my body in between without achieving perfection, what will happen? So he says, Dehe svadatu vigame anu vishiryamane vyomeva tatra purusho na vishiryate ajaha. He says, when the body dissolves after the departure of the dhatus, the jiva who is unborn is not dissolved. Which means, the end of death does not destroy the spiritual credits that one has gained by worship of the Supreme Lord. Neha bikramana shosti pratyavayona vidyate. So, therefore, when one gives up one's body before achieving perfection, then in the next birth, he can continue from wherever he has left. So, one need not worry that one has to achieve perfection in that very same life. That is not necessary. That's what is mentioned here by Brahmaji, that ultimately to achieve perfection of any other process, even Brahman realization or Paramatma realization, one has to worship Bhagavan, because it is this Bhagavan feature which bestows the results of all of one's worship. And one need not worry that what if they give up their body before achieving perfection. He says that the soul does not die when the body dies. So therefore, whatever spiritual credits that person has gained by his practice in that particular lifetime, it is carried over to the next lifetime. That's what Brahmaji is mentioning here. So Srila Vishnachakadri Thakur comments here, he says, without the worship of Bhagavan, even worshippers of super soul and Brahman cannot attain results. I'll repeat, without worship of Bhagavan, even worshippers of the super soul and Brahman cannot attain results. They have to worship the Bhagavan feature. If a devotee gives up his material body before achieving perfection in karma, yoga or jnana, which is performed with the element of bhakti, then the jiva is born again with the impressions of karma, jnana or yoga and continues his practice in the next life. So this verse, Neha Bikrama Nashosti, is not necessarily only for practitioners of pure devotional service. Even Ashtanga Yogis, proper practitioners of Ashtanga Yoga. Proper practitioners mean that practice is endowed with an element of devotional service. Okay, and as prescribed by the Shastras. And one performs even Jnana Yoga or Karma Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, even that is carried over to the next life. So Neha Bikrama Nashostri is true for any practitioner who practices it according to one's according to how it's prescribed in the scriptures, which means with an element of bhakti. If one accumulates pious credits, it's also carried over to the next life, right? Piety accumulated over many, many lifetimes or... Yeah. Punya, papa, everything is accumulated. Yeah. Mic. See, they must also be closer to their goal of achieving their perfection, of realizing Brahman, or if their goal is impersonal liberation, they must be closer to their, you know, they must also be having some milestones in their progress, just like we have Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartana Vritti, Nishtha and so on. Similarly, in their progress also they must have some milestones which have particular symptoms. So, So they must also have some milestones by which they can assess their own progress. So, they start from where they left off. Okay. See, of course, that is lost, but then every pious credit, with every pious credit he can earn X amount of happiness, either here or in Swarga, wherever, depending on the amount. And with every impious credit, he is entitled to suffer a particular amount. So that happiness and distress based on his pious and impious credits, that is carried over. In the education itself, it's not that if he has earned a master's degree, it's not like he is born with a master's degree in his next life. It's not like that. But then it refers to the quantity of happiness or distress that the piety is capable of producing. In that sense. So now, Brahmaji's instructions to Narada Muni is over. Now he is going to give some instructions to Narada Muni. Very interesting instructions. He says, now that you have heard, you have to take some responsibility. Because hearing is not sufficient. It has to be responsible hearing. Then it can produce some result. Just merely hearing may not produce the desired result. So he is telling, Soyam te bhitastata bhagavan vishvabhavanah samasena harer nanyat anyasmat sadasachayat. Bhagavan vishvabhavanah. The Lord who is the maintainer of the universe, samasena te abhihitah. My dear Narada Muni, I have described to you in summary about that Bhagavan who is the maintainer of this universe. Sad asad, the universe and the jivas, harer na anyat. In summary, I want to tell you that this universe and the jivas are actually non-different from the Supreme Lord. In the sense, they are the energies of the Supreme Lord. Anyasmat, at the same time, they are different from the Supreme Lord, because the Lord is the source and the jivas and the universe, they are the effect, cause and effect. In one sense, cause and effect are non-different, but in another sense, cause and effect are not the same. Achinta Beda Ved. So, Brahmaji says, this is the essence of whatever I have taught to you. In one sense, this universe and the jivas are non-different from the Supreme Lord, but at the same time, you should not think they are the swarupa of the Supreme Lord also. It belongs to Krishna, but it does not constitute the swarupa of Krishna. Like that. And that's what he is concluding here. The Lord, okay. Without him, Lord Hari, the Lord, there are no other causes of the phenomenal and noumenal existences. Phenomenal and noumenal means material and spiritual realm. That's generally, that's how Prabhupada uses these two words. I think he is referring to Sad, Asad. Phenomenal, Asad is noumenal. That's how he is. Spiritual and material world. He is the source, or he is the cause of both spiritual and material world in that sense. Okay? So then he says, Idam Bhagavatam Nama Yanme Bhagavatoditam Sangrahoyam Vibhuti Nam Twame Tadvipuli Kuru. Idam Bhagavatam Nama. This, what I have spoken to you till now, my dear Narada Muni, is called Bhagavatam. Yadme Bhagavata Uditam. Whatever I spoke to you is what I heard from the Supreme Lord. And what is the content of this Bhagavatam? I am Vibhutinam Sangraha. What is the meaning of Sangraha? Collection. It's a collection of the Vibhutis of the Supreme Lord. So now that you have heard, Twametad Vipulikuru, you have the responsibility of distributing it to others. So he said, now that you have heard it, please distribute it to others. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, Brahma is referring to the Chatushloki, which will appear soon. The description of Chatushloki appears after this conversation between Narada Muni and Brahma in Bhagavatam. But actually, chronologically, the Chatushloki happened before this conversation. This comes in Bhagavatam 9th chapter, this will come. He has spoken to Narada Muni, and Narada Muni has Vyasadeva to expand on it. He said, Twametad Vipuli Kuru, Brahma told Narada Muni, you now expand on it. Then Narada Muni took it to Vyasadeva and he told, Twametad Vipuli Kuru, and it expanded. And then he gave it to Sukadeva Goswami and he said, Twametad Vipuli Kuru, now you please distribute it and expand it. Add your realizations to it. So like that. Yes, Swanubhavam Akila Shruti Saramekam. So he added his own realizations and expanded upon it like that. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is not mental speculation. Rather, it is Lord in the form of sound. It has to be received in parampara only. Which means through the parampara of Narada Muni, Brahma, Narada Muni, Sukadeva Goswami and so on. That is the meaning of Tvametad Vipuli Kuru. But how should one distribute it? What is the parameter by which we can judge that we are doing a good job in distributing the subject matter? He says, Yata harau bhagavati ninam bhaktir bhavishyati sarvatmanyakiladhare iti sankalpya varnaya. So he says, first he says, Narada Muni would have said, sure, I'll distribute it, no problem. Brahmaji says, no, that's not sufficient. Take a sankalpa. What is the meaning of sankalpa? Resolution. Take a resolution. Iti sankalpya varnaya. Take a sankalpa. Like, okay, from now on, I will speak this section of Bhagavatam at least to 3 people in the next 1 week or something like that. Take a sankalpa and distribute. Because we also know that anything for which there is a system of commitment and accountability, then that work gets done. Anything for which there is no accountability, we may start, but we may not continue. Like amongst the initiated devotees, how many of us chant 16 rounds every day? Not everyone is raising their hands. Okay. So 16 rounds. How many of us read Prabhupada books? How many of us have read Prabhupada books every single day since the day of initiation? Not even one. Why? Even though chanting and studying Srimad Bhagavatam both are one of the five potent limbs of devotional service. So five potent limbs of devotional service, chanting is one of them and studying Srimad Bhagavatam is also one of them. But still, not even one of us have missed even a single day of chanting 16 rounds in the last many years after initiation. But not a single one of us raised our hands for studying Bhagavatam every single day. Why? Because there was no vow, there was no sankalpa taken to actually do it. So therefore, Brahmaji says, don't just say I will distribute, tell me what your sankalpa is. To how many people you will distribute it. And then he says, what is the proof or what is the parameter to judge whether you are distributing this subject matter in the right way? He says, yata nrinam bhaktir bhavishyati. When you distribute it, after hearing from you, people should feel inspired in performing devotional service. Then you are distributing it the right way. Devotional service unto whom? Sarvatmani akila dhare. Unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Sarvatmani, who is the essence of all worship, and akila dhare, and who is the fulfiller of all desires. So, when you distribute this subject matter, it should give rise to devotion in the hearts of all living entities. Then you are doing it right. Otherwise, if you are just fulfilling their intellectual craving, then something is amiss, something is wrong. The parameter to judge whether the subject matter is being distributed in the right way is it creating devotion towards the Supreme Lord within their hearts? Yes, Prabhu. There was no need of
such a book of knowledge and Brahmani. So can you please elaborate on this one? Because further down the line, I think that the Bhagavatam from Narada came to Vyasa and Vyasa to Sukadeva Goswami and the father. It happened just prior to the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
So the previous thing is about Bhagavatam by not associated.
Let's read the let's read the purport. Which part of purport it's there? The first paragraph? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam is the philosophy of devotional service and the scientific presentation of man's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prior to the age of Kali, there was no need for such a book of knowledge to know the Lord and His potential energies, but with the beginning of the age of Kali, human society gradually became influenced by four sinful principles, namely illegitimate connection with women, intoxication, gambling, and unnecessary killing of animals. Because of these sinful acts, man gradually became forgetful of his eternal relationship with God. Therefore, man became blind, so to speak, to his ultimate goal of life. Yeah, of course, from this first paragraph, it seems like, prior to this age of Kali, there was no need for Srimad Bhagavatam itself. But we all know that it existed, it eternally existed. But the point is, what Prabhupada is, from my understanding, what Prabhupada is probably trying to explain is that now that Kali has started, the teachings of Bhagavatam are all the more relevant, because, you know, by taking shelter, people can overcome their sinful tendencies easily. It was definitely done before Kali Yuga. See, therefore, when we read Prabhupada's purports, we have to take some lines which Prabhupada has written in light of his overall teaching. Okay? Even though, you know, certain things which he has written may seem to sort of contradict, what he has spoken, you know, in this vast gamut of books that he has written. If something seems to be slightly contradicting, it has to be understood in light of his overall teachings and not taken separately. So what do you think, if this sentence means... Oh, even in the past, Bhagavatam was spoken. Recently. Maitreya speaking to Vidura, when did that happen? Sankarshan speaks to Chatushkumaras. That happened before. Sankhyayan Muni speaking to Parashar. That reference is also given in that canto. That is also recent. Ambarish Maharaj was? Yeah, so Ambarish Maharaj, that's something he is quoting. Yeah. So Prabhupada is probably emphasizing, in Kali Yuga, it's all the more important to actively preach this knowledge. Because, as he mentioned, that system which was there to propagate this knowledge naturally to people has been destroyed. So one has to go out of the way to catch hold of people and preach it. That's my understanding also. So he says that take a sankalpa that I will distribute it to so many people, and then you preach. And the And the parameter that you are doing a good job is it must invoke devotion within the hearts of living entities. That's what he's mentioning. Then Narada Muni may say, oh, if that is the parameter, then as you mentioned, then let me distribute Leelavatar Katha, because I don't think by hearing Purushavatar Katha anyone can invoke devotion within their hearts. It seems too technical. People may know the details of creation and other things, but I think I should be distributing Leelavatar Katha, because you only mentioned that it is Karna Kashaya Shoshan Supeshan, it's very pleasing to hear. Apiyatam, very, it's meant to be relished. So anything that is meant to be relished will certainly invoke some devotion. So I think I should be speaking about Krishna's pastimes directly, or at least Varahadev's pastimes. These are like some pleasing pastimes, Narasimhadev's pastimes. I think, should I just skip this Purushavatar Katha? I will skip the second canto and directly start with the third canto. I think that would be, I can accomplish this instruction of yours of invoking devotion in people's heart if I probably skip these sections, Narada Muni may say. And it seems like a very reasonable proposal. So Brahmaji says, no. He says in this verse, this one verse you can say is like a guiding light of second canto to fifth canto. Because second canto to fifth canto speaks about the activities of the Supreme Lord with respect to his material energy. Sarga, Visarga, Sthanam. It's all, most of the activities of the Supreme Lord are with respect to his material energy, which means Purushavataras. So, should one skip Purushavatar Katha and directly go to Leelavatar Katha, because it is more easy to hear Leelavatar Katha and develop devotion than to hear Purushavatar Katha. It seems so dry. So Brahmaji says here, Mayam Varnayato Mushya Ishvarasyanumodatah Shrinvata Shraddaya Nityam Maya Yatmana Muyati. If the jiva nityam mayam varnayatah, if a living entity constantly describes maya, he is not referring to prajalpa, because constantly describing maya means, it could mean materialistic topics, but what here it means is Ishwarasya, Amushya Ishwarasya, in relation to the Supreme Lord, it means Purushavatar Katha. If the living entity constantly discusses how the Supreme Lord engages his maya potency in creation, maintenance and destruction, anumodatah, remembers maya in relationship to the Supreme Lord, shrinvata shraddaya, faithfully hears about maya in relationship with the Supreme Lord, mayaya na muyyati, such a person will not be bewildered by maya. So therefore, here he is indicating to Narada Muni that no, don't skip these sections, because a living entity has to constantly hear about these activities of the Supreme Lord in relationship with his maya, with his maya potency, because if he faithfully hears about it, remembers it and discusses it with others, then he will not be bewildered by maya. So here Srila Vishnachakadita Prabhupada writes a very interesting purport. Prabhupada says, the purport is there in the, you can read it from your book or you can read it from the slide also. He says, the science of learning a subject matter seriously is different from the sentiment of fanatics. Fanatics or fools may consider the Lord's activities in relationship with the external energy to be useless for them. People say, ultimately, one has to go beyond this. Yes, ultimately one has to go beyond this. But the means to go beyond this is by taking shelter of this, not by skipping. Fanatics or fools may consider the Lord's activities in relationship with the external energy to be useless for them. And they may falsely claim to be higher participants in the internal energy of the Lord. But factually, the Lord's activities in relationship with the external energy and the internal energy are equally good. On the other hand, those who are not completely free from the clutches of Lord's external energy should devoutly hear regularly about the activities of the Lord in relationship with the external energy. So it's specifically meant for those who are not completely free from the clutches of external energy. They should not foolishly jump up to the activities of the internal energy, falsely attracted by the Lord's internal potential activities like Raslila. The cheap reciters of the Bhagavatam are very much enthusiastic about the Lord's internal potential activities, and the pseudo devotees, absorbed in material sense enjoyment, falsely jump to the stage of liberated souls and thus fall down deeply into the clutches of external energy. Some of them think that to hear about the pastimes of the Lord means to hear about his activities with the gopis or about his pastimes like lifting the Govardhan hill. And they have nothing to do with Lord's plenary expansions as the Purushavataras and their pastimes of creation, maintenance or annihilation of the material worlds. But a pure devotee knows that there is no difference between the pastimes of the Lord either in Raslila or in creation, maintenance or destruction of the material world. Rather, the description of such activities of the Lord as the Purushavataras are specifically meant for persons who are in the clutches of external energy. Again, Prabhupada is mentioning the same thing. Topics like the Raslila are meant for the liberated souls and not for the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls must therefore hear with appreciation. Another parameter Prabhupada says, not just hear, but hear with appreciation and devotion the Lord's pastimes in relationship with the external energy, and such acts are as good as the hearing of Raslila in the liberated stage. So the same benefit that a liberated person gets by hearing Raslila, a conditioned soul gets by hearing Srishti Leela. A conditioned soul should not imitate the activities of liberated souls. Lord Sri Chaitanya never indulged in hearing the Raslila with ordinary men. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the signs of God, the first 9 cantos prepare the ground for hearing the 10th canto. A pure devotee of the Lord, therefore, must begin reading or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning and not from the 10th canto. We have several times been requested by some so-called devotees to take up the 10th canto immediately. But we have refrained from such an action because we wish to present Srimad Bhagavatam as the science of Godhead and not as a sensuous understanding for the conditioned souls. This is forbidden by such authorities as Sri Brahmaji. By reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as a scientific presentation, the conditioned souls will gradually be promoted to the higher status of transcendental knowledge after being freed from the illusory energy based on sense gratification. So, therefore, Prabhupada is also following in the footsteps of Brahmaji, emphasizing the importance of hearing the activities, hearing about the activities of the Supreme Lord in relation to his material energy. It prepares us. Many times we may not realize, how is it practically relevant for me? We may not be able to understand it immediately with respect to all the topics. For example, something like the ninth canto, chapters after chapter speaking about the genealogical line. I mean, in one may wonder, what is the practical application in it for me? It's just a series of names. So therefore, a patient may not always understand how a particular medicine is exactly working, how it's getting into his bloodstream, what is the active component of that particular medicine, that active component is acting on which particular organs and what kind of effect it's creating. We may not understand. And some medicines we may understand also how it is working. But irrespective of whether we are able to understand or not, but certainly the requisite effect will always be there. That's what is being described here. So, thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Scheduled Incarnations with Specific Functions. So, that's how Brahmaji ends this chapter by mentioning to Narada Muni that whatever you have heard, you please preach it, and preach it in such a way that it invokes devotion in the hearts of living entities. And don't just preach, but take a sankalpa. Give some commitment. And then preach. And then he says, but while preaching, don't skip these sections. Because these sections have the potency to transform the hearts of conditioned souls. Like that. Yes, bro. See, that's why when Prabhupada wrote Krishna book, which is not a literal translation of the 10th canto, but it's a summary study. It's a summary study of the 10th canto. The advantage with a summary study is that the author has the liberty to, wherever particular pastimes are coming, he doesn't literally translate. He gives one or two page of prelude, philosophical prelude, and after speaking the pastime, another one or two pages of afterwards, and then while describing the pastimes also he nicely packages it with the right philosophical understanding. So, if he had literally translated verse by verse the 10th canto, then that is another thing. But a summary study is a whole different type of presentation. It's not literal translation. So, that way, even if someone reads the Krishna book, how many of us have felt that it is a sensuous presentation? Even though the 10th canto itself, it's quite a sensational presentation. But if you read Prabhupada's Krishna book, the pastimes are laced with so much philosophical understanding so that people would never get the wrong understanding. So that's the advantage of having a summary study, presenting a summary study. And wherever not necessary, a person presenting a summary study can condense that section and give a brief outline. like when Prabhupada wrote Nectar of Devotion also, which is a summary study of Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, even though if you see the way he has presented, it is according to the verse numbers, you know, in the same way. But when it goes to the later sections, in the earlier sections, Prabhupada has expanded upon many subject matters which beyond what even Jiva Goswami and Vishnu Chakradhakura commented upon for that particular verse. And in the later section, Prabhupada has condensed 10-15 verses of Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu into few lines, wherever he felt that, you know, at this stage, it is not necessary for them to understand these subject matters in detail, he has condensed it. So, that liberty a person has when he is presenting a book, a Shastric book in the form of a summary study. So, it's not a literal translation. So, therefore, that justifies, you know, Prabhupada presenting the 10th canto, because certainly it is the most important canto. But the way Prabhupada has presented that Krishna book is very unique. It's not a literal translation in that way. So therefore, I don't see there is any contradiction. Yeah, some additional point, I think. Summary study mean? Highlight what I want. I write what I want. Achha, I write what I want. Okay. Canto 1 to Canto 9, philosophy is inserted in Krishna book. So whoever reads the Krishna book, automatically along with the pastimes, he also gets the philosophy of philosophy that is presented in Canto 1 to Canto 9. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. But then ultimately when you bring them completely into Krishna consciousness and when they are ready for a more committed study of the scriptures, then they must be encouraged to study systematically. That's the point. One need not catch hold of the person and say, okay, I see that you are thoroughly embarrassed by Maya, so I will start narrating to you the creation pastimes. Not in that sense. To inspire them, to attract them to Krishna consciousness, you know, we may have to feed them prasadam, we may have to, narrate to them some nice pastimes. Not esoteric pastimes, but some nice pastimes of the Supreme Lord. But once they become more and more committed, and when they are ready for a more committed study of Prabhupada's books, then they must be encouraged to systematically study. That's the point. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.